Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Blog Talk. This is G. Walker. Thank you for joining me. I don't know about the weather where you are, but I am loving this beautiful fall weather here in Georgia. I don't think we've had any rain this month, but right now it's looking a little cloudy, and that's okay. But I've seen the forecast, and the next 5 days are going to be absolutely spectacular. Well, today's broadcast is So You Call Yourself a Christian. Before I get started, I must say thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life and today and every day. The praise of my Heavenly Father shall continually be in my mouth, so I want to praise you, Father God, for you alone are worthy. Alrighty then, let's get right into the message. What does it mean to be a Christian? If we call ourselves Christians, what does that mean? Well, first and foremost, it means that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he was raised from the dead and is the Savior of the world that died for our sins. Now, it's real nice that you acknowledge and accept him in that way, but there's more to being a Christian than that. In Matthew 16:24-25, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." Christ made it clear how someone became a follower of his. It is not just saying the right words or just attending church on Sundays. What Jesus is describing in these verses is a living faith, a demonstration of it. Following Christ is a serious, life-changing relationship which goes further than taking God at his words or trusting God to do what he says or believing what you can't see. It's much more than that. As a follower of Christ, we are obligated to live according to God's word and to the example that Jesus set forth. So let's explore what Jesus is like so we'll know what we should be emulating. It's kind of like a job description. You don't start a new job not knowing what is expected of you, do you? Of course not. So let's see what our job description as a Christian looks like based on Jesus being our boss, the one who has hired us, so to speak. Isaiah 53:2 says, talking about Jesus, that there was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. It was his personality that drew men to him. He was a man of great character. So the first thing we should be modeling as Christians is good character. And character means just having a good reputation. What are you known for? You may have heard someone say, your reputation precedes you. What does that mean? Well, it means that they heard about you before they met you. And what they heard was either a lot of good or a lot of bad. So consider your reputation as a Christian, because surely you know you shouldn't have a bad reputation regarding anything as a Christian. I mean, not that you're perfect, but a reputation. What is a reputation? Basically, it's something that you are known for being, having, or having done, and oftentimes repeatedly. Are you known to be a liar? Are you known to be dependable? Are you known to be trustworthy? Are you known for being late? Are you known for being a troublemaker? Are you known for being lazy? These things are all a part of your reputation. And if you think people have not formulated an opinion about who you are, your reputation, think again. When people see you coming, they have initial thoughts about you. And you want those thoughts to be good. Okay? Moving on. Next, Jesus had a compassionate nature. He had compassion on the crowds because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, according to Matthew 9 and 36. Because of his compassion for them, he healed their diseases, Matthew 14:14. And because of their hunger, he compassionately created enough food to feed more than 5,000. That's also in Matthew. Another part of Jesus' personality was that he was serious and focused. Can you imagine if Jesus was a silly savior? That sounds ridiculous. Jesus being silly, always giggling and playing around. That would be awful. How could you follow someone like that? I mean, people in leadership, positions of leadership, don't tend to be silly people because they have a mission, a goal, something to accomplish. You know, they're leading others. They don't have time for foolishness. So praise the Lord for seriousness. People have often stated that I'm a serious person. Well, I'll take that as a compliment. At least I'm emulating my Savior. Jesus was viewed as serious and focused because he had a mission in life and never got sidetracked from it, knowing the weightiness of it and the shortness of time. His attitude was that of a servant. He did not come to be served, but to serve, Mark 10:45. Kindness and selflessness, not selfishness, characterized his personality. Now I have a question for you. Are you a selfish person or a selfless person? Can you do things for other people, modeling one who serves? Or do you always want people serving you, just soaking up all the attention and affection and the limelight and all that good stuff? If you only want to get, you're a selfish person. Check this out. I went to see this movie yesterday called Life as We Know It. And if you haven't seen it and you were interested in seeing it, I'm sorry that I have to give away a little bit of the plot here. Sorry. But if you haven't seen it, it's about a guy and this chick that tried to date once, but they didn't really like each other. They had mutual friends, and every time they saw each other at gatherings with their other friends, they were just always at each other's throat, saying something ugly or derogatory. Well, anyway, two of their friends died that were married to each other, and these friends had a baby. Well, in their will, they left the baby to the girl and the guy that hate each other. Long story short, the feuding friends move in together and try to raise this baby together, but they're not in a relationship. They're just trying to do right by this baby. Okay, now that's a setup, but here's my point for mentioning this. At some point in the movie, the guy that's helping to raise a baby gets a really great job opportunity in another state, and he's considering leaving the chick alone to raise the baby. Remember, they were left the baby in a will. Neither one of them chose this life. Well, long short again, the guy could have in the end decided to take the great job in another state, but instead he sacrificed his own plans to help raise this little orphan girl. And so did the woman involved, the one he didn't like. My point is, this was a very selfless action on both their parts, especially people that didn't have any children of their own. Imagine that. You have made a life choice not to have any kids. You don't want any kids. And you find yourself having to raise somebody else's child. But you know what? This is what a Christian would have done. Set aside their own personal agenda, trusted God that hopefully there's a plan involved here, a reason that this happened, and just move forward. A selfish person would never have even considered raising a baby because babies don't easily fit into your lifestyle. And for a selfish person, it's all about them. It's all about them. Okay, let's get back to some more characteristics of Jesus. He was submissive. He was submissive to his Father's will when he came to earth and subsequently went to the cross. He knew that dying on the cross was the only payment his Father could accept for our salvation. He prayed the night of his betrayal by Judas. Listen to what he said. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, take this cup of suffering from me. But let what you want be done, not what I want. That's submissive. That's in Matthew 26:39. Jesus was also obedient to his Father's will. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Hebrews 5:8. I can attest to this type of learning myself. Isn't it interesting how we learn to be obedient to the Lord when we do things we're not supposed to do? We do it over and over again. We suffer the consequences of it once, twice, three times. And when we get tired of hurting ourselves through disobedience, we learn to be obedient to the Lord, when it is really much simpler and a whole lot less painful to just be obedient from the beginning. But you know how we are. We sometimes have to learn the hard way. Another part of Jesus' personality was that he was merciful and forgiving. According to Luke 23:34, when he was hanging on the cross being crucified, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How many of you out there listening have asked the Lord to do that when somebody hurt you? Do you actually forgive them, allow time to heal the hurt, of course, and dissolve the pain, and ask God to forgive them too, all the while not holding a grudge? But do you actually ask the Lord to forgive them? Or do you have this Medea mindset? Lord, I want them to get got. Do you want the Lord to, you know, seek revenge on them? Or do you just turn it over and say, you know, Lord, I forgive them, and you too, please forgive them. Continuing on, Jesus was loving in his relationships. John 11:5 says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." John was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. All too often today, people view love only one way. When you have a physical relationship with them, then they love you. But Jesus' love for people was deeper than that. He just gave it, expecting nothing in return, just because that's the way he was, unconditional. Again, think about the people that crucified him. He loved them in spite of the fact that they hated him. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to help you walk in love that way. But nevertheless, Jesus does expect us to love this way. Think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. during the Civil Rights Movement, when he and fellow marchers were subjected to being sprayed with tremendous forces of water from water hoses and beaten with police billy clubs as they marched the streets in various cities in protest of segregation and inequality. He preached a message of nonviolence in the midst of what was being done to them, saying, "We will not retaliate in any form or fashion." Remember that? You know what? You have to be a soldier to follow Christ. Just like the saying goes, "I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord." If you're weak, I hate to say it, if you're weak, you're going to have some problems making it from glory to glory. And I don't mean physically weak. I mean emotionally and spiritually weak. Men, you know, a lot of you work out and exercise your bodies. You know, you go to the gym and stuff like that. But you might need to be learning to develop your spiritual muscles a little more. It's not attractive to be fine on the outside, and this goes for women too. It's not attractive to be fine on the outside, but a spiritual wimp if you're a Christian. Ouch. I know that hurt a little bit, but put a Band-Aid on it. It'll be all right, and let's keep it moving. Okay, let's see what else was a part of Jesus' personality. He had a reputation for being good and caring. He healed often and in most places where he went, in order that they might know who he was. He proved to be the Son of the living God by all the miracles he performed, all the while showing concern for the afflictions of those around him. Jesus was honest and truthful. He never violated his own words. How many of us can say that today? Being dishonest and lying almost seems to be the norm today. Are you a person of your word? Jesus spoke truth wherever he went. He was also peaceable. He did not argue his case nor try to bully his way into people's hearts. He said what he had to say and left it at that. You either received it or you didn't. I kind of like that. I mean, when you really study Jesus, he was really cool. He was really rather cool. This part about him, well, and some other parts too, but this part about him reminds me of myself, you know, saying what you have to say and keeping it moving. Jesus was intimate with his followers. He spent quality and quantity time with them. He coveted their fellowship. He taught them and helped them focus on what was eternal. He was also intimate with his Heavenly Father. He prayed to him regularly, listened, obeyed, and cared about God's reputation. Remember how he got angry at the money changers who were buying and selling in the temple? He said firmly and authoritatively, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den." Some people think that, you know, in order to be a Christian, a follower of Christ or whatever, that you're supposed to, you know, be mousy and quiet and, you know, you can't be outspoken and things of that nature. That's not true. The Word of God tells you to be bold, to even be as wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. In some cases, it just depends on the situation and the circumstance. But being a Christian does not mean you walk around all mousy and scared of people and, you know, scared to say, you know, what the Holy Spirit is telling you to say and all that stuff. Okay, Jesus was strong. but he was a quiet leader. He was strong, but he was a quiet leader until he had something to say. And then, like I said, he would say what he had to say and you know, go on about his business. Everywhere he went, people followed him to listen to his teachings. And he was patient, knowing and understanding our frailties. 2 Peter 3:9 says, he is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now, what I just mentioned, the things that I've been mentioning to you, are all traits that all believers should desire to become a part of their personality and character. The things that drew people to Jesus should be the very things that draw people to us. Jesus has given those who believe in him his Holy Spirit, who enables us to be constantly changing into his image. But it will only come about as you yield to him for who he truly is, the Lord of the universe. Remember this, Jesus never, ever drew attention to himself, but rather to his Father. We need to say what John the Baptist said in John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. It can't be all about you. It's all about him. Now that I've explained the nature, character, personality of Jesus, let's look at a few areas to see if we are demonstrating in our lives that he is our example. First question I have is, are you a jealous person? In 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, Paul calls the disciples immature because there was envy among them. Think about that. How many times have you been jealous of someone for something material that they have, or the way they look, or the fact that they can do something better than you can do it, or whatever? Paul says that's immature. And I agree. You know why? Because what's the point of wasting all that energy hating on somebody? At the end of the day, you still don't have what they have. You still don't look like they look. You still can't do what they do. So what's the point? Just do you. You know, God created you. Just do you. And furthermore, while you're looking at somebody else being jealous of them, do you know that somebody is jealous of you? You might say, no, not hardly. I don't have anything that somebody else will want. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. If you have two legs, the person in a wheelchair with a spinal injury would be jealous of you. There is always someone who has less than what we have. But my point was, there is no reason for jealousy in the body of Christ. We are all on the same team. When you look at a male or a female, you know, I don't know if you have siblings in your family, but if you have a brother or a sister, I mean, are you really and truly jealous of them? I mean, I would like to think that you would be happy for whatever they get in life, their successes and things of that nature. So when you see a fellow Christian, a believer, you should be happy for them, not jealous and envious of them. If someone is receiving favor from the Lord right now and you don't see anything happening in your life, just wait your turn. He is no respecter of persons. If he blessed them, he can bless you too. That's a part of our problem, a lack of patience and wanting what other people have. But let me suggest this to you, that you get the blessings that you're supposed to have and not covet other people's blessings, because you don't know what they have been through to receive what they have. And if the Lord had called you to go through what they've been through, you probably wouldn't have been able to handle it. Okay, so let's work on the jealousy thing. That is not a characteristic of Jesus. Next question. When someone hurts you, do you seek revenge or want to do something to get them back? The Bible says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. When somebody hurts you, I already told you what to do in my message. Forgiveness is not an option. If you haven't listened to it, you need to listen to it. As bad as it hurts, leave them alone and let the Lord deal with them in his own way, on his own time. Jesus is not a person that would seek revenge. How about being spiteful? Do you do things out of spite to people because you want to irritate or agitate them? That's wrong. And like Paul says, it's childish. Because when they realize what you've done, there's going to be strife. And to purposely cause conflict is so immature. How about this last one? Do you have an ego? I'm sure you've heard that song by Kanye West. I got a big ego. Give me a break. Give me a freaking break. What's an ego anyway? It's your perception of your own importance. Your perception of your own importance. Have you ever known people that when they walked in the room, they felt like all eyes should be on them? Yeah, they have a big ego. They need attention. That's not a characteristic of Jesus either. Jesus did not seek the limelight. He would heal people and perform miracles and then tell them, now go and tell no one. He did not need man's accolades and pats on the back to feel important because he knew who he was. When you are confused about who you are in Christ, you seek accolades from people. Jesus was very humble. Let me give you two people to think about to contrast. Tyler Perry, movie producer, and Naomi Campbell, the supermodel. I have seen a lot of TV shows and interviews with Tyler Perry on it. And one of the things I believe is the reason for his success, the reason why people support him so, is because of his personality. In spite of his success, he comes off as a very humble person, and that's attractive to people. Now think about Naomi Campbell. She was on Oprah talking about herself, so I'm not slandering her with my comments. But she has been accused and even confessed to being overly aggressive and violent towards people like her housekeeper and others. She threw a cell phone at somebody, and if I'm not mistaken, she was even accused of spitting on someone. That's awful. My point in bringing these two people up is to ask you, who demonstrates more the character of Christ? A humble person or a person with a big ego that considers themselves a diva or God's gift to the entertainment industry? Okay, just some things to think about. I've enjoyed you listening in, Blog Talk. Thank you for joining me. And my time is just about up. Until next time, demonstrate the character of Christ because his reputation is on the line. Be blessed.